For the scripture reading this evening, we'll turn to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 9. Jeremiah, chapter 9, and begin reading at verse 23, and read through chapter 10, verse 10. So Jeremiah 9, beginning at verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, forasmuch as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Upaz, the work of the workmen, and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Here ends the reading of God's Word. And next we'll turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 47. Lord's Day 47 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is the subject for the sermon tonight, where we read as follows, in question 122, which is the first petition, that is, of the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples to pray. What is the first petition? The answer, hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee and to sanctify, glory and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account.
Dear congregation, we want to speak to you about the Lord's Day 47, the first petition, Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. And we see here in this petition a prayer for the knowledge of God that is grant us first rightly to know thee. We see in the second place a prayer for the glorification of the Lord and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And in the third place, we see in this prayer the desire to surrender us to him. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Dear children, do you listen? Hallowed be thy name. We see a prayer for the knowledge of the Lord, the glorification of him, and to surrender ourselves to him. Dear congregation, do you know God? Do you know really God? For that's eternal life. And it is eternal dangers to make a mistake herein. When we think we know God, and yet we don't know him really. In the Netherlands, there was once a professor, an older man, and he was very sound in his doctrine, and had taught for many years students for the ministry. And at a time there came a student to meet him, and he found his professor in tears. And he said, "What has happened? Is there anything wrong?" And the professor said, weeping, "My boy, I don't know God. I am unconverted." That was the beginning of his really knowing God. Once in paradise, we knew God. He was the middle point of our heart, thoughts, love, life. But we lost it. And every man makes his own God, his own idol. And sometimes we can have the Christian words, the Bible words, but not the contents of it. We only know God by a true saving faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, no one knows the Father, and they to whom He, the Son of Man, shall reveal Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ makes God known and beloved in our hearts. And that's what we need. And that's what's the prayer, the first prayer, hallowed be thy name. What's a name? Maybe you don't know yourself, children, the signification of your name. When your name is John, you have a splendid name. God is merciful. That's the signification of your name. But maybe that a lot of us don't know the signification of their own name. But in the Bible, every name has its own signification. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What a wonderful name. God has a lot of names. I have in my study room a little book. And there are written all the names of God which he has in the Bible. A lot of names. And every name let us see something of God. But every name must become opened for the soul, for the eyes of our soul, so that we may see God by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. So that every name of God becomes alive for us. Not only a name, but that we really feel in our hearts the reality, the signification, the wonderful fullness of that name. Hallowed be thy name. And it may be our prayer, children, young people, O Lord, write the signification really by thy Spirit on the tables of our heart. Then we need a new heart, of course. Not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. A heart in which we come impressed God in his names, in his glory, in his love. To hallow the name of God, we have to know his names. And we have praying to search in the Bible. God, one of his most fundamental names is Jehovah. He is. He is everywhere. He is always the same. He was, he is, he shall be everywhere into all eternity. God is here, God is there, God is everywhere. He is Jehovah. My young people, I heard once a story of a young girl and her boyfriend. But the boyfriend was not very serious. And he wanted to do with his girlfriend what the Lord has forbidden. But he has kept only for married people. You know what I mean. And the girl who feared the Lord didn't want to do what her boyfriend wanted. She said, no, the Lord has forbidden it. But he kept on. And at the end of some time, she said, it's good, Henry. you may. When you can bring me to a place where we are quite alone and no one can see us. He said, that's all right, that's not difficult. And he brought her in a room. They were quite alone. The door was closed. And then the girl began to weep. As he said, weeping to her boyfriend, Henry, is God not here? Does he not see us? That girl felt the presence of God. He is. He is everywhere. And she had a desire to hallow his name, to live in his presence, in obedience to his command. And the girl wept. And the boy began to weep too. And they couldn't do the evil thing, for they both felt the Lord is here. Hallowed be thy name. My young people, shall you think about it? The Lord is there always. We are always in his presence. Also when we don't think about it. Also when we think you can do that, nobody sees it, no one is there. The Lord is there. He is. Well, the Lord brings us by his Holy Spirit to the real knowledge of himself. That's the great change in every life of man. The new birth. When we don't know the new birth, we don't know God. We don't know ourselves. We don't know Jesus Christ. But when we are born out of God, we begin to know him. We begin to seek him. And we see and feel with sorrow the distance between God and ourselves. And we fly to Christ, the only way to the Father, to be reconciled with God and to have that wonderful union and communion with our Father by the Spirit of adoption, who witnesses in our heart, our Father, which art in heaven. We can only pray this prayer, this petition, when we are living in the right relation to God. When we are really the child of God. For then is this desire, this prayer, living in our soul. Maybe young children, one of the first things your parents try to teach you is the Lord's Prayer. And I think that all the children here can give up and pray by head the Lord's Prayer. And that's good that your parents teach you that. But that's not enough. We need the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That you, my dear children, by a new birth, become or are really children of the living God. And that you know God really as reconciled with you in Christ. That you know God really in his tender love for you. And that you may know by grace to be a child of that dear Heavenly Father. And the desire is living in your heart. Thy name may be hallowed, O Lord, that I may know thee first. That's the first thing in this prayer. And we see then some very nice words in this petition. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee. How can you know God? Only by meeting him? Only by walking with him? Only by hearing him? Only by feeling him? For the Lord is the living God. He speaks to his people. He reveals himself to his people. He gives us deep impressions in our soul and heart from how he is and what he is and what he does. And the desire is living. When we know him, we want to know him more. We heard this morning. It was a desire of the Apostle Paul to know Christ and to know him more, that I may know him. More knowledge of God. For the more we know him, the more we love him, and the more we are able to glorify him. That's one. But we see in this petition, in the explanation of our catechism, three very nice words. To sanctify, to glorify, and praise thee in all thy works. Then we are also near our second thought. To glorify the Lord, the desire of our soul to honor him. Three very nice words. To sanctify him. To feel the pureness, the holiness of the Lord. And to receive such a deep reverence in our soul when we pray to him. You must feel that for yourself. I can try to explain it and to say it, but there are things in the walk with the living God that you only can know by experience. When you are seeking him in prayer, closed prayer, alone, how can that come? And it comes in the true knowledge of God, the desire to sanctify him. We find that in the Holy Scripture, when we hear the prophet Daniel praying, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him. Do you feel it? So humble, so low, God so holy. I in myself so unholy. God so great. I so little. There is a deep reference. Not really a distance. For when we want to sanctify the Lord, we have the desire to make him great. All glory to him alone. It's such a good place to be a humble sinner before that great God, and to feel in our heart his holiness. I think also to the prophecy of Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Do you hear? My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And how humble, how nothing, how undone was this tender child of God. He knew God. And from out the real knowledge of God, he had a tender desire to glorify him, to sanctify him. Oh, dear congregation, that's a wonderful thing, to know God and to be in a living, continuing walk with the living God. And that's the soul's desire of every child of God, to know his Heavenly Father more and more. And another splendid word in this explanation is, and that to sanctify, to glorify thee, to make thee great, to honor thee. And in the third point, we shall see some more of that with all our life. And to praise thee, to come out for thee, are we are so often too much ashamed. When we don't glorify the Lord more, he is it worthy? Why don't we confess him more? Why is there so much false shame in us? That ought not to be. The Lord is worthy. We may pray that he makes us more and more full of him. Full of him. Overflowing of him. So that our hearts may be filled with the true knowledge and love of the Lord. And our hearts overflow, our mouths are opened, so that we praise him, not only in the church, but also in our work, also to other people, that we praise him, that it can be seen to us, that we seek his glory, that our life is a praying life. Thy name, hallowed be thy name. We see in the second place, this is just a prayer for glorification of the Lord. And then we receive from out our catechism some of the attributes of God. How is the Lord? We can ask that. Do you know that man? Is he kind? Is he faithful? Is he honest? And then sometimes you can say, No, I know him. You can trust him. I have experience with it. But when you have experience with God, you begin to know him. It's only a beginning. A beginning which shall never end. A beginning which is so wonderful. To know the Lord in his virtues, his attributes. How is the Lord? When we know that, then we can, by grace, glorify him. And then we are taught to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works. In all thy works. The Lord is always working. And in his works, we see his attributes. In his works, we see how our Heavenly Father is. And we experience it in a living walk with him. So that we glorify thee in thy power. Dear children, when God is by grace your Father, you can say, I have a strong Father. I have an almighty Father. The power of God, an unlimited power. He speaks, and it happens. There are no limits to his power. And how do we meet that this is not something theoretical, but that his power, the knowledge of it, is deep impressed by the Holy Spirit in our soul? My Heavenly Father is so extremely strong. He conquers all the evil minds. He is the Almighty Father. That we need to feel in the living spiritual knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, his power and strength is impressed in our soul, and how safe we are in his presence. When we know that he shall protect us, that he shall be with us, so God is for us, who shall be against us? And so Gideon, he could fight against the enemies, 300, against 130,000. And the victory was sure. For God in his power was at his side. When God is at your side, then you are strong. In the Lord. Then you don't have to fear. Nobody. And when the power of God is impressed in your heart, you have no fear. With my God, I conquer everything and everybody. His power in my weakness. Then you feel the strength and the power of the Lord. Then you glorify him therein. When it is a reality in your life. We often think too little of God. And that's the prayer and the desire of the child of God. O Lord, that I may know thee and glorify thee in thy power. That thy power and strength is a reality in my life and soul. And that I live from out it. That's really full of comfort, isn't it? There can be so many enemies, so many troubles and difficulties. How can it come good? With God, his power, his power. When God is on our side, it comes good. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall be silent. Do you feel it, congregation? What a comfort it is in the real knowledge of God. That the power of God is really impressed as a reality in our heart and life. And then we glorify him. And that's the chief end, of course. Not us. But that the Lord may be glorified in our life. And that we live out of him. And that his virtues, his attributes are impressed in the flesh tables of our heart, so that we serve God, the living God, not an idol, not a God according our own image, not a God which is weak, not a God which cannot help. Elijah, he said to the priest of Baal, cry to your God, maybe he is sleeping. Maybe he's on vacation. But he didn't answer. And Elijah prayed with a deep impression of the power of God. Oh Lord, answer me. And immediately there came fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. That's the power of God. Oh Lord, may we feel and see that power. That our power may be fulfilled in our weakness. And that we live from our deed. And that we trust thee. That's the desire of the living church. But also that we may see and glorify the Lord in his wisdom. Our Lord is endless wise. He never makes one mistake. He rules and directs all things according his holy counsel. And everything must work, must serve him therein. Even Satan and sin. And we glorify the Lord when his wisdom is deeply impressed by the Holy Spirit in our heart. That we don't only know it by our head. The Lord rules. And the Lord does everything good. But that we really feel it deep in our souls. That we find rest in his wisdom. How it goes in our life. What happens? It's according his holy counsel. His wisdom. Oh, that gives such a rest when we really see and glorify the Lord in his endless wisdom. And that's the desire of the soul, for when the Lord goes ways in our life against our flesh, we sometimes are angry. Job, he never expected that he should have such against the Lord. Why? How often can we cry that when things are quite going against us, against our own wishes, when the Lord takes away what we love the most, when the Lord does in our life what we fear the most, and it's grace, only grace, to rest in his wisdom. He is the Lord. He does what good is in his eyes. And then can the Lord with us do what he wants. For nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from his love. And we glorify the Lord when we agree with his ways. When we are united with his way in our life, then we glorify him. And we dishonor the Lord when we are always crying, why this trouble now? And why this trouble now? We don't want troubles. But the Lord, he knows perfectly what is good for his children. And he chastens every child which he loves, so that we become more and more according to his image. Endless wisdom. All the church of God is surrounded by divine power. Is protected and guided by divine wisdom. And dear congregation, when you see that really and feel that by the Spirit till in the deepest of your heart, you glorify you, Lord. And when the church comes at home and see everything, imperfectly they shall glorify the Lord in eternity, in all His ways, in all His perfect wisdom. But here it begins. He is the Lord. He does what good is in His eyes. And what He does, that is good. That has its source out of His perfect wisdom. And we glorify Him therein. That's the desire of our soul. But we are taught also to glorify the Lord in His goodness. I hope you all understand that these are very precious things. To know the Lord really in His power, in His wisdom, but also in His goodness. In Scripture, the goodness of the Lord is glorified and sung so very often. And the goodness of the Lord brings us to conversion. Do you not know that the goodness of the Lord brings you to conversion? All that begins, where the Lord begins in our life and plants His true knowledge in our soul. O Lord, what art Thou good? I cannot understand why Thou sought me, such a wretched sinner, such an enemy as I am. And then His goodness overwhelms us, makes us so humble, brings us to repentance. We thank everything out of His goodness. How good is the Lord? Did you ever feel it? Did you ever glorify the Lord in His goodness? Can you not understand that the Lord is so good for you? That He sought you, that He drew you, that He revealed Christ in your soul, that He prepares you for an eternal happiness? It's all His goodness. We don't deserve it at all. And the church of the living God, in the desire to the true knowledge of God, glorifies the Lord in His goodness. That's the desire, the prayer, the longing. That's the breathing of the living soul. O Lord, grant us that we may praise Thee in all Thy works, but also in Thy justice. A lot of people don't like God in His justice. They only want to hear from a God of love. God is love, that's what they like to hear. But not a God of justice. A God of love without justice is an idol, is an image of man. For a God who permits sin, a God who doesn't punish sin, is not love. God is so lovely, special in His justice. Did you ever feel that? When the justice of God is impressed in our soul by the Holy Spirit, that brings a lot of experiences in our heart and life. For we feel we cannot stand before His justice. And there comes a moment that we feel till in the deepest of our soul that when the Lord does with us according His justice, He has the full right to cast us away in hell. For His justice demands our death, our eternal death, That's what the Lord teaches us by His Holy Spirit. When we are on school with Jesus, when He is our teacher, and He teaches this prayer, it's the Lord's prayer, which the Lord Jesus teaches His disciples. To know Thee, to glorify Thee, to agree with the Lord in His holy justice, to fall on His side. He is the Lord. He may do with me what I deserve. Did you ever feel something of that? Or are you struggling against it? As long as a man is struggling against the justice of God, he stays an enemy. But by the overwhelming love of God, we fall on the side of God. We have nothing to say. Nothing. When the Lord should cast us away, we must say, O Lord, that's what I deserve. And at the same time, our soul cries, O Lord, be merciful upon me, a sinner. But we love the Lord in His justice. We don't want, when we know the Lord really and love Him, that He break His justice for us, and He shall never do it. For He didn't spare His only begotten Son. All His justice came to Jesus Christ when He hung on the cross, and there bore the punishment we deserved. And that's the wonderful mercy of our God, when our eyes are fixed on Him, in whom mercy and justice kiss each other. His justice completely, perfectly, eternal, fulfilled in Christ. And when that wonderful grace is revealed to our souls, oh, how do we glorify Him in His justice, the then fulfilled in Christ, when our hearts may receive the endless mercy. For when we know the Lord, it's not so congregation that we know only or one part of the Lord. But the Lord makes Himself known in His power, wisdom, goodness, justice, but also in His mercy. In His endless mercy. How merciful is our Lord. And every child of God knows that by experience. When you received grace, when you received peace, when you received the sweet communion with God by Jesus Christ, oh, that's unspeakable, to experience the love and mercy of God in our soul. And it's His mercy tonight that we are here. For the Lord has no pleasure in your death, but in your salvation. And He has provided a full salvation in Christ. There is enough for every sinner. And you are invited to come to the fountain of life. For all God's mercy is revealed in Christ. And in the preaching of the glorious gospel, Christ invite sinners. Only what you need to be is a sinner. All what you want to be more shall keep you from Christ. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save sinners. And the mercy of God is so richly visible in our blessed Savior. We preach Him tonight to you. And that's the wish of our heart. Children, young people, older ones, that you all may come to Christ and to know the Lord in His wonderful virtues and attributes, and that virtues are impressed by the Holy Spirit in your soul. Oh, that we may the Lord, that's the desire of our heart, that we may glorify Him also in His truth. That's to the honor of God, that you trust Him, that you build on what He says, that you have comfort out of His promise. And sometimes the Lord comes with His promise very powerful, personally. When we read a portion of the Scripture, when we hear the preaching of the Gospel, it can happen that some of His promises come very powerfully and personally to our soul. But, congregation, all the promises written in the Holy Word of God are for all the children of God. And not only what comes very powerful to our soul is true, but all what the Lord has promised to His people, therein is He faithful. And when we trust Him, when we build on His promise, when we are looking forward to the fulfilling, with a trusting heart, we glorify the Lord, and we don't trust Him. And the devil is always busy to make us unfaithful and to make us thinking, the Lord shall never do it. We see sometimes how Abram was tempted, isn't it? Sarah, his wife, said, go into Hagar. Maybe the Lord shall fulfill His promise out of her. And He did. But it was terrible. He sent away the child which had been born out of that union. It was not a child of the promise. But a child of the promise was Isaac. And what was so impossible, and sometimes it seems so impossible for us, sometimes time is going further. Abraham 100 years old, Sarah 90 years old. How can they get a child? The child of the promise. Well, the Lord promised it. It happened. The Lord is so faithful, so trustworthy. And when we begin to know the Lord, something becomes impressed in our heart. I hope that you can feel something. How wonderful is the true knowledge and the glorifying of our Lord, of our God, when we know God really as our Father. There is a beginning. There is a growing. There is no end. The knowledge of God, the glorifying of God, endures eternity. But when we some of these things really know by saving grace, it bears also this fruit. Our catechism goes farther, and further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that Thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. We pray with this prayer, hallowed be Thy name, against ourselves, against our flesh, against our sin. Do you feel that? This prayer is quite against our nature. And therefore it's so wonderful when it yet lives in our hearts. That's only saving grace. When this prayer is really living in our hearts, O Lord, take whole my life. That whole my life may be a glory song to Thee. Then a man comes to his chief end. Wherefore are we born? There once was a child very disabled. He never could speak. He'd never recognized his own mother. And she took tender care for him many years. And when he was about 12 years old, she bowed herself over his bed and said, "Child, child, wherefore are you born?" And the child was a child of God. And the Lord, in his almighty power, gave that child to speak for one time. And that child said to his mother, "I am born to glorify God into all eternity." Yes, also disabled men, women, children can be children of God. In my third congregation, there were in the woods around the congregation many foundations, many houses for heavy disabled persons. And I sometimes said to my young people there, we had nearly 400 young people for the catechism class. And I sometimes said to them, "My boys and my girls, when you don't seek the Lord and don't come to your end, to know and glorify God in Christ, then the disabled boys and girls can be more happy than you. You can and have everything. You can speak, you can play, you can jump, you can. But can you glorify God? Do you know God? I am born," said a child, "to glorify God." And it happens. In heaven no one is disabled. In heaven quite a church is perfect in body and soul. Our whole life, our thoughts. The great man in history said, "A man is such as he thinks." I think that's true. Our thoughts. When our thoughts are not directed to the glory of God, our words are not honest. And our actions are not real. Then there is a disorder in our life. And the Lord is a God of order. He begins in our hearts. From our hearts, our thoughts are produced. From out the deepest feeling of our hearts, we are thinking, we are desiring, and we can hide our thoughts for people. But we cannot hide our thoughts before the Lord. And when we were made honest before the Lord, the desires of our heart is what the psalmist is saying, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, to be clean inwardly. O Lord, that my thoughts are for thee, that my love is for thee, that the desires of my soul is for thee. Hallowed be thy name in my inward life, in my words." When we receive a good age from the Lord, and we become 70 or 80 years, we have spoken millions, maybe billions of words. How many words we speak every day? And we have to give, says the Lord Jesus at the end of the time, account of every word. Are our words filled with the glory of God? We speak so much, so without thinking, so many idle words, so many empty words. And the closer we live to the Lord, the more we feel that. How far can we too short? How do we need the Spirit that our words may be not empty but may be fulfilled with His glory, with His honor? O Lord, that Thy name may never be blasphemed because what I am saying, so many words which are wrong, not filled with love to our neighbor. I once was the cause that a colleague of mine cursed. And I never forget that it gave such a deep sorrow in my soul that by my words the Lord was blasphemed. Let me take heed on our lips. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Let that be the desire of our soul. And when this prayer is a living prayer, and we serve the living God, and this prayer is living in our heart, and goes through our life, it gives a blessed influence on our speaking, that Thy name may be hallowed by what I am saying, that others are brought to Thee. For speaking is wonderful. Speaking is splendid. When we use our mouths for the glory of God, for the salvation of our fellow sinners, do we try to bring people to the Lord Jesus? That we have to do. Our words and our actions. Sometimes we cannot reach people with words. They begin to mock. They don't want to hear it. But then we have still another weapon. Our actions. Which can people see? Actions filled with the love of God. Actions filled with the Word of God, with the law of God. To live, to love your neighbor like yourself. Everyone can see it when we have love. Love for our enemies. When the love of God really lives in our soul and comes out in our actions. Maybe when you hear this all, you say, how can we do all these things? Maybe we become sad and think, how much come I short? And let that be your sadness. Let it become it more and more. And let the desire become more stronger. That this prayer may live in your heart. May go through our life, through your life. We cannot do it by ourselves. But we need it to do it by ourselves. It's our Lord Jesus Christ who teaches this prayer, who gives us this prayer, who makes it by His Spirit a wonderful reality. And as long as we live, we have the struggle against our flesh. And our flesh is enmity against God and against this prayer. But the love of Christ gives the surety that we shall conquer. And that the deepest wish of our soul, hallowed be thy name, shall become fulfilled when we are in eternity, when we are with our most beloved one, when we are assembled around the throne, and with all the church of all ages, shall perfect, glorify, know, and hallow our Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Let me pray and thank now. O Lord of all grace, we thank thy holy name for all thy mercies bestowed upon us this thy holy day, that we this morning were allowed to hear and to speak about that wonderful desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. For Lord, that that desire may fulfill also our hearts in this week of preparation. And the same it was tonight. For it's always the same love, the same hunger, the same longing of our soul to know God. And where that desire is living in us, it shall be fulfilled here more and more, and perfect in eternity. Or that we all that living hope may receive, may know. Lord, be with us also when we hope to come together on Tuesday. When we gather as a consistory, we need thy Spirit, thy presence all the time. Without thee we can do nothing. O Lord, help us, and beware us from all lusts and sin, and give that we are not are led in temptation, but that Satan has no victory over us, that we may look forward to a blessed communion Sabbath, and that thou, O Lord Jesus Christ, want to be in our midst, our heavenly host, who give us thy body, thy blood. O Lord, we don't deserve it. We are not worthy it. But we ask it only for thy own merits. Hear us. Only for Jesus' sake. Amen.